morning. My name is Greg Frank. I'm the hearings officer. I'll be hearing the case before us this morning, which is case number 212-0006. As I indicated, my name is Greg Frank. I'm an employee of the Auditor's Office of the City of Portland. I don't work for the Bureau of Development Services nor any other bureau that I hear cases for. I hear cases outside of the Auditor's Office. I believe that based on my employment that I'm able to make an objective decision in this case, and so we'll proceed accordingly. What I'd like to do is, let's start on this side just so I know who's here. First name, last name, spell your last name, and give us your work mailing address or mailing address you want us to mail things.
Mitchell R. McKee, M-C-K-E-E. I work for the Bureau of Development Services, City of Portland, 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue.
Ma'am?
My name is Sherry.
Speak into the, pull your chair over or pull the microphone over. You have a choice of either one.
Okay, well, we'll meet halfway. And I apologize, I'm on the end of
okay, into the microphone and we'll do just fine.
Okay.
You'll do just great.
My name is Sharon Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R. Address is 919 Northeast 122nd, Apartment 2, Portland.
Zip code, please.
97230.
All right. Let me tell you the process that we use in a code case. First of all, have we given them an exhibit list?
I have.
You have that package? That's okay, in your left hand. That's what I'm looking for, so we're good to go. All right, I need you to look at that because that starts, that is all the documents that have been submitted into this case to this date, at which time there are none of those exhibits that I have admitted into the record. In other words, when I say admit into the record, that means that I will consider them in making my decision. So you got a big long list in front of you, but at this point in time, I am a blank board or blank slate. I know nothing. All right, and so it depends on what I'm told today and the evidence that is actually offered and admitted into the record that I will consider. So if Mr. McKee, for example, would offer exhibit 500, there isn't one, into the record, you would have the ability to say, I don't want you to look at that, I object, whatever fancy language you want to use, and then I'll consider your objection. As a practical matter, in an administrative hearing such as this one, I admit into the record almost everything that is relevant, okay? But I more than welcome you to tell me what you think is wrong with a particular exhibit. So that's number one. Number two is within the documents, and it is the one that I always look at even before the hearing, and I would admit under all circumstances, is exhibit number one. And so if you look at the package of information you have there, you will find that there's exhibit stickers. I see it actually, let's close that down. All right, look in your lower right hand corner. Lower, right in the bottom corner.
Okay.
See that little sticker?
Oh, yes.
What's it say on it?
You're gonna make me look up close and personal.
That's okay.
City of Portland Hearings Office, exhibit 35.
Okay, see that number 35, okay. For ease of conversation here, often exhibits are referred to by their number. Those numbers correspond to that sheet of paper that's on your right side. And so that document, exhibit number one, I have looked at, and that document basically forms the template around which this entire case is going to focus. All right? Do you understand that?
I do.
One of the things that I tend to do, I've done more recently, I think I've been catching the city off guard just ever so slightly, is that I'm asking, I'd like you to look, if you would, at Exhibit 1A, which is, it says Attachment A, it looks like this. On the top it says Attachment A.
Okay, I'm quite short-sighted here, so if I take a little bit.
Mr. McKee will.
I have Exhibit 1A, so it's A is.
All right, that sheet. Have you had an opportunity to look at that at all?
Yes, I have.
All right, what I do this simply for time saving, and I'm not trying to say that I have anything better to do than spend time with you folks, because I'm here all day, so I will more than happy to spend time with you folks. But from your perspective, time may have value, and I would, if you have looked at that document. Have you looked at each one of those alleged violations?
I have, and I...
Are there any of those that you agree are violations? Do you disagree that there are any of them are violations?
No, I'm certain they're all...
You're certain that they're...
viable violations.
All right. So do you have any problems with me saying that every one of those is a violation?
I agree. Everyone is a violation.
All right. With that, then, I am going to find that exhibit that 1 through 35, at least entire list of Exhibit 1A, do in fact constitute violations in this case. Mr. McKee, with that in mind, then you are you may talk about them as you wish, but you're under no obligation to prove them, as Ms. Fisher has stipulated that they are in fact violations. All right. Now, Ms. Fisher, what I'd like you to do is, if you can go back to the very first one that we were looking at, that's Exhibit 1. Did you read that document?
I have read it, yes.
Okay, in that, there are four paragraphs, but in paragraph number 3, it lists what's referred to as relief requested. Do you see that paragraph?
Yes.
Did you review any of those A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H? Did you look at those?
Only to glance over them, not okay. In depth at all.
All right, then, Mr. McKee, I'm going to ask that you review each of those in your normal presentation fashion, if you would, please. All right. Now, here's the order of process. I'm going to ask Mr. McKee, as he is representing the city, to present his case first. During that time, we both have to be quiet. So we let him present his case. When he's done presenting his case, and we're only talking about the relief requested here, not the violations, then you may ask him questions. Okay, in a trial, that would be referred to as cross-examination. But I don't care what you call it. You get to ask him questions. If you do decide to ask him questions, it's one of the few times I tend to interrupt, is that I will ask that you ask one question at a time. When you're completed with that question, and hopefully it's a short question, not a compound question, hopefully with that short question, you let him answer, and when he's done, you can ask more questions. I don't put a limit on the number of questions, but I prefer that your questions be short, precise, concise, and let him answer those questions. If, in fact, you do ask him questions, Mr. McKee will be given an opportunity after your questions to give me any additional testimony he wishes to give. If he does that, then you get to ask him more questions, and we do that until we're all tired, okay? When Mr. McKee's testimony is completed, I'll ask you for your testimony, and after your testimony, Mr. McKee would have an opportunity to ask you any questions. He's under the same obligation you were, and that I would ask that his questions be short, concise, precise, and allow you respectfully to answer the questions, okay? I don't have opening statements in these hearings, but I do allow you each at the end to kind of conclude as to where you think we ought to go. As you've admitted the violations did occur, then the question in this case is going to come down is, what is the city going to do about it? And what am I going to allow the city or grant the city authority to do? So it really comes down to how much money, vacation, or any other thing that they may have asked for, whether or not I agree that those are reasonable and appropriate in the circumstances that we have here today. All right? Do you have any questions about what I'm supposed to do, what you get to do, what Mr. McKee can do, anybody in the room can do?
No, but I'd really like to jump to the end of it before we have to do the front, but I understand that.
Okay, you don't, if, what is, are you, is there some, would there be any benefit in sitting down with Mr. McKee and talking about the circumstances, or do you want to talk to me about it?
Honestly, I don't think there would be any benefit to speak with him, no offense intended.
Sure, okay.
I was out of work for 3 years. I have no money. I'm budgeted right down to the penny to manage month to month.
Okay.
There's no way I could take care of any fees or fines or pay to have any work done on the house. So as far as I'm concerned, this is probably more of a get to the end of it. Here's what the city is going to need to do.
Okay, what would you like the city, I'm sorry, Mr. McKee, I'm going to be presumptuous here a little bit. What would you like the city to do?
Well, at this point, I don't see there's any option for me to keep the house. I don't see any way financially I could do that. I've got to the point that if I physically drive by the house, I wind up getting very stressed and sometimes physically sick. You know, it's certainly been a burden on my head for a couple of years. And I've had a concussion, and I have post-concussion syndrome, which is a stupid term for not getting over something. And I'm sure that maybe, I'm not sure, I'm not a doctor, but that certainly doesn't help. So at this point, you know, if the city says, you know, the best thing we can do is tear it down and find you more money and, you know, make payment plans, if at all possible, that would save everyone, I think, time, save the city money. I'm certainly open for options for Mr. McKee, but I really fear there are none.
All right. Have you put the property up for sale?
I have tried. Even the places that we will buy any house, they don't want it. It's pretty bad when they don't want it.
Yeah.
I did have an offer from a neighbor who was hoping to move his elderly parents out from wherever they are. But between the cost of fixing the house up and the fines due on the house, he said that puts it out of his range. He was interested if the city would waive part of the fees or most of the fees if the house was to be bought by another person and them assume the role of, you know, well, owner. But he talked to him 2 weeks ago, and he said the city was unwilling to do that.
Right.
At least to the point where it would be profitable for him to buy the property.
All right. Well, I think we've got a good background now. Mr. McKee, would you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear a firm testimony about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Give me some discussion, if you would, with respect to your requested remedies.
Sure. First of all, I'd like to go ahead and offer the exhibits 1 through 36 into evidence.
Ms. Fisher, do you have any objection to that?
No, certainly not.
I will admit 1 through and including 36 into the evidentiary record without objection.
It sounds like Ms. Fisher is agreeing to all the exhibits in the packet and the disposition of the property, that there's really no way to salvage it at this point. I think what I will do, though, just as background, is go through the exhibit packet briefly, just to give an overall description of the city's efforts and time spent on this case. I'll try to be brief about this. First of all, the complaint violation list, attachment A, the notification list, apparently Ms. Fisher got that, photo of the house, property taxes, property information from the assessor's office, exhibit 7. I apologize for my cold too. Taxes, back taxes, back taxes owed on this property are over $12,000. The property is in redemption, so it looks like there's only about two more years before the county actually takes title to the property, completes their foreclosure process. I have some photographs of the property. I've numbered those pages 1 through 27 that demonstrate the exhibits there. Exhibit 19 is a list of cases opened on this property since 93. Sharon's apparently owned the property since 1986. Exhibit 20 is two pages, shows the documents that the city has generated on behalf of and on behalf of this file. Photo documents, letters, that sort of thing. There's six pages, Exhibit 21, six pages of case notes on the property that the city keeps in its records. Exhibit 22 is, let's see, a number of pages here that show the, are the letters that we've sent to Ms. Fisher. That's that entire exhibit. Exhibit, well, wait a minute. Those have been numbered separately. So exhibit 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. Those consist of the letters that we've sent to her. Exhibit 30 is the hearings officer supplemental order from 09. There was a previous hearing, like to just have the hearings officer take note of in this case, in which some penalties were levied and a vacate order was granted. Ms. Fisher did vacate the property on approximately July of 09. That's when we found a note on the door that Ms. Fisher had moved out. You'd left us a note there. And that's the note that's Exhibit 31. Exhibit 32 is the city lien accounting report that shows the liens. This is as of 2/24/12, $34,086.78. Exhibit 34 is the mailing list prepared by the hearings office. Going back to the complaint and the relief requested, as Ms. Fisher admitted, apparently she does not have the means to remedy this issue, so it sounds like she's agreeing to the demolition of the property, and as a part of that consideration, we'd like the hearings officer to consider the following relief. First of all, correction of the violations. B is civil penalties. We'd like to recover our costs for the actual inspections that have occurred since the last hearing only. Total of five inspections at $146 per inspection is $730. The cost of this hearing, $1,215. And the city's requesting that we drop the additional civil penalty of $2,000. We provide that in there as a partially as an incentive to for the owner to attend the hearing and see if we can work out the issues. In this case, she did, so I'm asking that that be dropped. The city's asking that these violations be resolved within 60 days, and if they're not, the city's requesting that we step in and demolish the property. Item D, we are asking for a vacation of the property, realizing still that no one's living there. I still want to ask for a vacation of the property in the event that someone breaks in, someone moves in, any kind of possibility that someone occupies the property for any reason whatsoever, the city would like to have authority to remove them in the event that we need to. So that's what D is about. That's for vacation and securing the property to make sure that nobody can get in. E is cost recovery for demolition. In the event the city is allowed to demolish the property, then we're going to request that all costs and associated fines and fees for the demo are recovered. This could include abatement costs, civil penalties, administrative costs, recorders, title report charges, and any costs and penalties that the city auditor needs to recover for administrative costs. F is cost recovery for vacation. We put this in the event that for any reason someone who might be a legitimate tenant moves in there. We want to protect that tenant, and so we would want to relocate them so that they're, you know, not being under a hardship because of having occupied this property. This has happened in the past where the owner or some other party has allowed someone to enter into an agreement to rent, and it's completely inappropriate. So we don't want the tenant there to suffer. In the event that occurs, then we'd want to recover we want the owner to make sure they pay the cost of that. We're asking for the hearings officer to retain jurisdiction in this case for a period of 180 days. One issue that I'd like to just touch base on is that the language we've adopted in our complaint here is pretty carefully crafted so as to cover contingencies that may or may not occur on the property just for the protection of the city and for the owner in the event that that's needed. So we would ask that in the event that order is granted, the language be followed as closely as feasible or possible within the jurisdiction of the hearings officer. Let me just make sure. I should probably just touch base briefly on portions of Title 29 that cover the reasons or allowances for demolition. The fact that portions of the structure are weakened or unstable, roofs, porches, walls, and ceilings, in which case they are. It's a fire hazard because of its dilapidated condition. It's manifestly unsafe for occupation, constitutes a health and fire hazard, not just to the occupants, but to the neighboring properties as well. It's a public nuisance. It's an attractive nuisance harbor for vagrants and criminals. It's been subject to chronic dereliction. It's been unoccupied in excess of 6 months, 3 years in this case. And it's also maintained in violation of Title 29, the City Property Maintenance Code. Also, I don't believe it's financially salvageable, so that adds to that as well. So the city's primary request here is for demolition, and I thank you.
Ms. Fisher, do you have any questions of Mr. McKee?
No, I do not.
Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm testimony about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Floor is yours. Tell me anything you want to tell me.
I wish circumstances were different. Had I been able to afford to maintain the house, I certainly would have done that. One of the reasons that the house was in such a horrendous mess at the end is we were told to vacate, which we did, but we were under the understanding that we were able to go back, get another dumpster out there, and get the house cleaned out. We were told no, we were not able to go back in there. I believe that came from Peggy, who worked on the case before. So we got out what we could get out and bagged up the rest, or part of the rest. But I have no objections whatsoever to the city, county, whoever, to take over the house and to have it demolished. I would hope that there would be some financial gain to the county or the city selling off the property or whatever, where it could be applied to some of the fees that have occurred. And I think that's all, unless you have any questions.
Mr. McKee, do you have any questions?
Well, just a couple points of interest here. Do you still have any personal property inside the house that you would like to recover?
Yes, most definitely. There were things we couldn't get out.
Well,
I'm assuming they're still there.
Okay, if I could offer, in the event that the hearings officer provides this order for vacation of the property, and that would put the control of entry to the property under the Bureau, which would allow me to grant you access to the property for a specific purpose, for a specific reason, and for a specific time. So I would be willing to help you with that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And it's my understanding that that you may have an underlying mortgage of certain amount, but you don't know about that?
I assumed I had. Up until I lost my job, I was making mortgage payments, and I at Wells Fargo Financial, who I approached for to refinance, and they wouldn't. But as far as I know, there's a mortgage out there somewhere. I have not received anything from them for since I've been in my apartment. That's been 3 years. I certainly put out change of address forms for at least a year and a half after I'd moved out and then moved into the apartment, so that should be on record.
So they're not sending you anything?
I have not received anything.
Okay. Well, the title report shows nothing. Okay.
All right. Based on the testimony of Ms. Fisher and her stipulation that the violations do occur, or in fact listed on 1A are do have occurred and remain on the site, I'm going to grant remedies, and those remedies would include the order of which, in some respects, is like blowing against the wind. But it's I will order Ms. Fisher to correct the violations. I mean, she's already told me that she can't, and so that's probably not going to go very far. But I'm also going to issue in my order a cost, a civil penalty in the amount necessary for the city to recover its costs, and that would be $1,945. That's less $2,000 in paragraph B. I'm going to, on paragraph C, I'm going to shorten the 60-day period to roughly, and I'm going to look at it more carefully, so I'm not going to be bound by it at this moment, but to around 15 days, roughly 2 weeks. I want to make sure that it's after the comment period on the order, but it'd be roughly 2 weeks as opposed to 60 days. It seems that it would not be accomplish any real purpose by giving Ms. Fisher 60 days when she says she can't fix it at all. I'd rather get things moving along a little bit quicker. So I will modify the 60 days to a shorter period of time, roughly 2 weeks.
Thank you.
As far as the vacation in paragraph D and the demolition paragraph E, the cost recovery in paragraph F, those paragraphs, I will essentially use those paragraphs as my order, and I say essentially because I completed an order in the last couple of days that I tweaked them just ever so slightly, but there is some tweaking that may occur. On paragraph G, I'm going to insert, I will use the language, but insert in front of occupants, lawful occupants, your language, Mr. McKee, was legitimate tenants. I think that's what it was. Yeah, you used the if legitimate tenants and cost recovery. I do not think that the property owner ought to be responsible for even though the city's responsible, I'm not sure that the property ought to be responsible. And in other cases, I might find differently and not insert that language, but in this particular case, it appears that if there is any equity in this property after demolition, it's going to be small considering the fact that the city, the property tax associated with and the city liens in excess of, what, $30,000, that the cost of the lot or the value of the lot's not going to exceed that netting a whole lot. So I don't see it being to be a big deal here. But I will certainly keep it open as discussion item in future cases. Okay. And I will agree to retain jurisdiction for approximately 180 days. And Ms. Fisher, I'm sorry for your circumstances. I know it doesn't make you feel any better, but in the economic times we're going through now, I can assure you that you're not the only one. Not that sharing misery makes the misery any better. This is a tough time for a number of people, and I feel sorry for your circumstances, but I also take equal concern and feel sorry for the neighboring property owners that have to live with this particular circumstance on a day-to-day basis and have done so for at least 2 or 3 years. And so my concern here is that we bring this to some kind of conclusion. I want you to understand that today I'm here representing the city and the city only in making this decision. And the city, by and through this decision, will not acquire, by this decision, any ownership into the property. In other words, they're not, in essence, taking it off your hands and relieving you of any potential future liabilities that might occur from something else. Somebody comes on the property, steps on a nail, dies, and they bring a wrongful death suit. As the owner, you still have negligence responsibilities not to be negligent. So I'm not protecting you, nor am I taking ownership on behalf of the city away from you. That may well occur shortly on the county side for the back property taxes. And when that foreclosure is completed and there's a sheriff's deed transferred on that, theoretically, the ownership will be in someone other's name. Has somebody purchased this, you know, Mr. McKee? At the sheriff's sale.
Oh.
Because it doesn't go into redemption period until there's been a sale, theoretically.
Oh, well, the redemption period still has Sharon as the owner for, I think it's 1 year's time.
Okay.
And then it still takes approximately another year before the actual sale occurs on the courthouse steps.
All right. So you still have ownership for a period of time, and I just didn't want you walking away thinking this is the last thing you ever have to worry about with the property. There's more stuff to have to worry about as the property owner. If you'd had a mortgage and you could convince the lender to take a deed from you, you could have theoretically given them a deed in lieu of foreclosure if they would have accepted it, but they may not have. If there's no, based on Mr. McKee's comments, there isn't a mortgage in place based on the title report. You know, certainly title companies make mistakes, but if there's no lender, there's no one really to give this property to that's probably going to accept it. Although, would you do me a favor? Would you write down Marco's name and phone number? And I'm going to give you the name of a person in the auditor's office who I know, but I don't know well, and I don't work with him on a regular basis, but I know his title, and I can't pronounce his last name. But
Marcellos.
Yeah. His first name is Marco, and he deals with foreclosures, and what I will do is have my clerk, well, Mr. McKee, would you give him a call and give him a brief rundown of this case and my comments? And not that I'm suggesting he does anything. What I'm suggesting is he at least be aware that Ms. Fisher may be in a position to voluntarily grant title to somebody. Give it to her, yeah. And that may save the city some administrative costs associated with It and also give the city a much stronger incentive to be cost efficient in getting the demolition done and perhaps getting some of the money back and maybe even pay the taxes so there is something left. It's a numbers game and it's a crunchy numbers game. But since you brought the case before me, I'm assuming that there is at least some hope that there's some money will come to the city someday and the city can solve some of these problems. So I'm just suggesting you give him a call and let him know what. And Ms. Fisher, if you'll give Mr. McKee your phone number at the end of the hearing, so that if Marco does want to talk to her, he can talk to her. I'm not presuming to know his job, so if he desires to talk to you, he may. If he doesn't, then that's certainly his right as a city employee. I will issue the order hopefully within the next couple of days. I'd like to get this process moving as quickly as possible for your sake as well as the city and the neighbors that surround this property. So I will issue the order. My order is appealable since you've already stipulated the violations and are not really expressing serious concerns with the remedies. I think it's probably much ado about nothing, but I'm letting you know that my decision is appealable to circuit court. There will be a copy of the statute that gives you that right, but we don't give legal advice here as to how you go through that process. With that, then, we'll close the hearing. At the end, go off the